grisly one.
Their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today, why, and what's next? Live, local, on it, 77 WABC.
And today, they ratcheted up, both in Alabama and in Washington, D.C., on behalf of Judge Roy Moore. As you know, yesterday on the Today Show, the woman who at the time was 14, Kaufman, described almost scene by scene what Judge Roy Moore had tried to do to her in his home after he had picked her up outside of her house, brought her there, and then slowly but surely began to seduce her, taking off her clothes, and then coming back into the room with only his tighty-whities on and wanting her to massage his male member. That's when it ended. And she insisted that he take her home, which he did. And so it's the second time we've heard that story, although in greater detail. Well, today, it was to the offensive that the Judge Roy Moore supporters went, starting with Ben Dupree, who was talking about Kaufman's statements yesterday.
Kaufman claims that Moore picked her up around the corner from her house. Kaufman alleges that she would meet Moore around the corner from her house, and he would take her to her house, according to her. However, according to public records that the media has not bothered to look at, we've been able to find that Kaufman's supposed pickup place was almost a mile away from her mother's house.
So I guess he's a PI. But this is all part of negative research, part of any campaign that gets down into the pig's trough, as Ben Dupree went on stating that Kaufman's, alleged life was spinning out of control when, in fact, it may have already been out of control when she was 14.
She claims her life spiraled out of control after she first was contacted by Judge Roy Moore. However, as her own parents said in their joint petition to modify custody, and I quote, that each of the parties have become increasingly concerned and worried about certain disciplinary and behavioral problems being manifested by their minor child. Okay, this was the basis for them asking that custody be changed from Lee Corfin's mother to her father, because the father was better equipped, having been remarried and being of a stronger personality, to deal with the already existing disciplinary problems of Lee Corfin.
But it didn't stop there. Another supporter, Dean Young, weighed in.
Selection has ramifications, not only for Alabama, not only for the United States, but for the world. And by the way, that's why you saw Kellyanne come out yesterday and say, we've got to have somebody like Judge Moore. We've got to have someone like Judge Moore. Well, you know, Kellyanne does talk to the White House.
So I guess, you know, if he's a pedophile, what the hell? It's better to have our pedophile in as U.S. Senator than somebody else who's not a pedophile. But then again, the president weighed in on this after pardoning the turkeys.
He denies it. I mean, if you look at what is really going on, and you look at all the things that have happened over the last 48 hours, he totally denies it. He says it didn't happen. And, you know, you have to listen to him also. You're talking about, he said 40 years ago, this did not happen.
And then he topped it off by basically saying, it's more important we have a Republican senator in there than a liberal Democrat.
We don't need a liberal person in there, a Democrat. Jones, I've looked at his record. It's terrible in crime. It's terrible in the border. It's terrible in the military. I can tell you for a fact, we do not need somebody that's going to be bad on crime, bad on borders, bad with the military, bad for the Second Amendment.
On the line right now is Dale Jackson. He's a talk show host on WVNN in Huntsville, Alabama. Hey, Dale, thanks for joining us here on the Drive Home at 5.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Dale, it just seems that this race is getting muddier and muddier. What can you tell us about the events of today, both in your home state of Alabama and obviously what appeared to be tactical air support that the president was giving Judge Roy Moore?
Well, I'll tell you this. It all started with Kellyanne Conway this morning. She seemed to sort of be an endorsement of at least the candidacy of Roy Moore, so they can get a Republican there to get support for their tax plan and other issues, which is kind of weird because by the time Roy Moore or Doug Jones is seated, the tax plan will probably be dealt with. So that's kind of a weird thing, but it is a first step. Then what you saw with Dean Young, one of the spokesmen there, the consultant for Roy Moore, referenced that Kellyanne Conway moment, which of course is going to force Donald Trump to take some sort of position because the press is going to hammer him on that. And then you saw Donald Trump eventually say, yes, we need him. It's better. Doug Jones is a liberal. Doug Jones is soft on crime and all this other stuff. Look, the reality is Doug Jones doesn't matter. He didn't matter before this, and he doesn't matter now. And Doug Jones is not even really on the ballot. This is a Roy Moore referendum at this point, and he needs Donald Trump to come out and say it's okay to support this guy here in Alabama, and that's exactly what he did.
But remember, the last time the president entered into the Alabama race in the Republican primary, his guy was Luther Strange, and Judge Roy Moore persevered against that. So really, does the president have juice down there? Can he convince Republicans especially who are not quite sure that, oh, they need to be standing with Roy regardless?
Absolutely. The situation with Luther Strange and Donald Trump, that has been completely overblown by the national media. The real story here with that whole thing was he was appointed by a flawed governor who had been impeached. There was some question about whether Strange should have been investigating him while he was the attorney general of the state. So there was all this other stuff that was outside of Donald Trump's control, outside of everyone's control. Strange was hated for that reason, the reason of his appointment alone. And the Mitch McConnell stuff didn't help. They went after Congressman Mo Brooks, who is a good lifelong conservative, and basically said that he supported Al-Qaeda. They went after Roy Moore for a bunch of different reasons. Strange was a flawed candidate. Donald Trump could not save him under any circumstance. That had nothing to do with that. Strange's supporters were Trump supporters. Moore supporters were Trump supporters. Brooks supporters were Trump supporters. And, you know, Trump coming down here was all for naught. It did nothing. That race was outside. That was a truly local issue, a state issue. And Donald Trump, he didn't fail or succeed by coming down here. It literally had nothing to do with it.
Now, Dale Jackson, interesting, because I've noticed it seems Judge Roy Moore's off the radar screen. It's either his surrogates or his wife who's speaking on his behalf. Is that helping him or hurting him?
Personally, I think it's kind of hurting him. His wife is not really a good representative of him at all, but you got to have a female face out there for him right now. If it were me, I'd say send Roy Moore out there and fight the good fight. But I'll just tell you, I always thought Roy Moore had lost a couple of steps over the last few years. I've been living in Alabama 10 years. I've never cast a vote for Roy Moore. I was going to do it here, but I'm not doing it now, because I believe these women are credible. But Roy Moore needs to be out there making the argument that I want to see this yearbook. Bring me that yearbook. That's the evidence that some of this is fake. And if he could blow that up, he could blow the whole thing up. But Roy Moore's got to make that argument. He can't have surrogates out there making that argument. He's got to make it every single day. And I personally think the yearbook is the key to all of this for Roy Moore. He needs to. Why is the media not interested in getting that yearbook from Gloria Allred, having somebody tell you whether or not it is in fact forged? Because if it's forged, you blow up one, you blow them all up. But if you prove that that yearbook is in fact legit, Roy Moore did sign that yearbook, then it is over for Roy Moore, and Doug Jones is your next senator. You don't make that happen. The media sits on this. It looks like it's fake. And I'm telling you, my listeners think that the yearbook's fake. And I'm coming around to the fact that it might be fake too. And I think Roy Moore might still be your next United States senator. It surprises me, but I think that's where we're headed.
All right, but how is Doug Jones running? Because we don't hear nor see him, because obviously they just want to deal with Judge Roy Moore. But what kind of campaign is he running, and will he be able to maintain his lead that appears to exist in the most recent polls?
There was another poll out today that I think showed Roy Moore up 5. So the polls are sort of bouncing all over the place. Doug Jones, and I hate to give you this answer again because it's kind of the same answer, Doug Jones doesn't matter. I mean, it literally, Doug Jones is a non-factor. He is running a campaign that basically says, hey, come on, guys, I'm a really nice guy, and we need nice guys in D.C., not like these other guys. That was basically his message before. Now it's, hey, I don't have a sex scandal. I didn't go after a 14-year-old. He's running an ad here that has Ivanka Trump, Jeff Sessions, and Richard Shelby, the two senators from Alabama. Sessions, of course, is now the attorney general. And they're all quoted as saying things like, I believe the accusers. The Ivanka Trump quote is something about the people who do this deserve to be in hell and things like that. The entire campaign is now an anti-Moore campaign. Doug Jones has a position on abortion that is amazing to me as someone who's about to have a baby, that you could have an abortion up to 9 months. And that's a crazy position across the country. Hell, that's a crazy position in Europe. But in Alabama, that is a completely unacceptable position. And my listeners are telling me over and over and over again, his position on abortion is a non-starter. I'll put someone in there who is a convicted child molester if he's not for abortion. So Doug Jones, he has to make this entire argument about Roy Moore. His positions are so against where the average Alabamian is that he's a non-factor in this race. It's not about Doug Jones. It's Roy Moore or the other guy.
Do appreciate that. That's Dale Jackson, talk show host on WVNN in Huntsville. Wouldn't it be great if, since we only got 3 weeks to the election, the special in Alabama, if there would actually be a debate? Although we know there won't be a debate. But, oh boy, the whole world would be watching that one.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
There's nobody that knows this city better than Curtis Sliwa.
WABCRadio.com.
Farewell to Tarwati. Adieu, Mormonti. And the Dylan.
56 days. Until Shamu El Jefe finally swims away from the governor's office there in Trenton. Although he won't be swimming away from his home in Mendham. Who knows? Who knows? But he'll be off the Jersey shore, no longer a menace to the voters of New Jersey. No governor has ever done so poorly in polls upon his exit. Not even, I'm a gay American, that's right. You remember who that was, Jim McGreedy. It was greed that did him in, not the fact that he was gay. But anyway, on the line, we want to discuss how the taxpayers are being duped into spending $1.5 million to honor the outgoing governor, Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie. And we're doing it with Paul Molsheim again. Thanks for joining us here on the Drive Home at 5, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so what is this honor? Where is this road being built? And why don't they even wait until he's out of office?
Well, the road apparently creates a needed connection off a main road to get into this new park, Central Park, which, by the way, used to be where they had the insane asylum, so there's a certain amount of relevance there, you know.
Now, is this where Greystone was?
Yeah, it's around there. It's in that neck of the woods.
Okay.
Know? And so, yeah, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, and that was an eerie place, really eerie.
Yeah, that was something. Apparently, it was a beautiful building. But this is, I guess it didn't cost them anything to call it Governor Chris Christie Drive. And I got to say, it doesn't bother me if he's not running for office again. But I don't know if you saw the other day, Bob Menendez, you know, who just beat the rap, you know, just got out, escaped by the skin of his teeth on all his corruption charges, is giving a speech at the Bob Menendez Health Center in Hudson County. And you're like, how can you? And remember, Lautenberg had that transfer station named after him. And after he left office, then he runs for office again, and they still keep it in his name. So, you know, we the taxpayers and ratepayers, fair payers, are paying to publicize a political candidate. You know, so
why this idolatry in New Jersey? Normally in other states, they wait until your room temperature, you know, you've taken a dirt bath.
I think, as a student of international politics, It's a Latin tradition. It's an Italian tradition. They like to do it in Italy. I think it came over here. They like to get the tributes while they're still in office. You know, in the waspier parts of the world, I guess that's considered a bit much. But I think, you know, in the Latin part of the world, I think that's sort of considered the way you honor somebody. And it tends to take off. I know Sharp James, of course, you know, the blacks, Sharp James, when he was the mayor of Newark, had the Sharp James Health Center and Sharp James Community Center. And, of course, Daley, when Richard Daley was, you know, the boss in Chicago, he'd have the Richard Daley basketball court and the Richard Daley this and the Richard Daley that. So I guess it's, you know, it's more of an urban thing where you try and, yeah, sing your own praises.
All right, but Paul Molsheim, this road, right, a third of a mile, is going to cost $1.5 million. Isn't this sort of symbolic of what happens in New Jersey anytime you have to lay down new asphalt anywhere in the state? The incredible amount of cost. This is only a third of a mile.
Yeah, you know, I know when you look at that and you go, it was basically just over mostly a grassy field. But, you know, they're doing an environmental impact statement and a this and a that, an engineering study. They used to just create the road. Now they spend all this money on studies and studies and studies. Yeah, you would think the actual pavement shouldn't cost much at all. And then but they've got to do a study upon it. The engineering guys got to get paid. The lawyers got to get paid. Yeah, you're right. Third of a mile.
Now, do you think it's sunk in to the egomaniac, the pretentious one, Chris Christie, of how badly wounded he is upon leaving office as the most hated, despised mayor in the history of New Jersey?
Well, the other day, he was, I don't know if you saw him, but the Dallas Cowboys were playing the Eagles down there in Cowboy Land.
Getting their butts kicked.
He's sitting behind Jerry Jones again, you know. I considered that amazing. At a time when Menendez was on federal trial for taking the private plane, Christie was taking the private plane everywhere, which you would think even if it's legal, you would think it's kind of in bad taste. But that didn't stop him.
No, and in fact, let's face it, Paul Molsheim, it will never stop the crooked one, Bobby Menendez. It will not stop the pretentious a-hole, Chris Christie, Shamu, El Jefe, as he swims off into the darkness of the Atlantic Ocean. 56 more days to go, and I'm counting them off the calendar so that the people of New Jersey finally have relief.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yes.
He's an American hero.
WABCRadio.com.
As we continue here in the Drive Home at 5 now, the fact, Brian, that you would play Madonna, who you know, I believe is a putain, is a direct slap in the face to me. But I'm going to forget it because we're approaching Thanksgiving. And what will be Black Friday? And it used to be the retailers, and to a degree wholesalers, would say between that Friday, Black Friday, and the after sales after Christmas is when I make my nut. When I'm either going to be swimming in the red or swimming in the black. So to discuss that, especially with the problems that the mortar and brick retail industry has, we have our resident expert here, Mark Weber. In fact, he's the host of Always in Fashion. You don't want to miss it because he's on Saturdays at 8 p.m. And so nice, the suits say, hey, Mark, got to do it twice. He's also on with Always in Fashion, Sundays at 5 p.m. Thanks for joining us here on the Drive Home at 5, Mark.
Hey, it's great. How are you, Curtis?
Doing well. And I notice when I listen to you, you got a great sidekick, your son, Jesse.
That's a joy in life to have my son hanging with me on the radio. What could be better?
All right. And I'm sure for years, like all families, you would load up your family into the old Betsy, and particularly whether it's Paramus or anywhere in the tri-state area, it hit the malls, hit an anchor store, some of the secondary stores, and shop till you dry, especially with apparel, which you'd want to, you know, put on, sort of test it out before you'd make the purchase. Why do you find, Mark, that that's less and less of a choice that consumers are making?
Well, first of all, Thanksgiving used to be about turkey, family, and football. Now it's really about shopping. From the minute it starts on Thanksgiving Day to Black Friday to Cyber Monday, people are shopping. Some at home. Listen, the people who are online, the e-commerce people, have made it easy to shop. That's all they think about is how do they make it easy for us to sit in our houses, order stuff, put it on, and return it if we don't like it. So they're a force to be reckoned with. And when you look at Amazon now in the apparel business, these are guys who see no horizons. They see over the horizon. There's nothing that they won't do to get you delivered on time and compete with brick and mortar.
But
having said that,
yeah,
people still like to shop. People still like to try things on. All the research will tell you that people want to go into stores, see how they look. It's an experience going out. So it will still continue. And the stores that are executing well and sending out the right messages will get their fair share of business. So I don't think it's anything. It's just changing, like everything else in our world. Things change.
But Mark Weber, host of Always in Fashion here at WABC, you can hear it Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 5. When you say stores will have to accommodate, will have to get their message out to the potential consumer, what is that message, particularly when you're fighting against this thought that I'm going to have to schlep in my car, I'm going to get clipped in the back of my neck paying a toll over the George Washington Bridge, when I can just sit in front of my computer, order, 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 and all maybe I get is arthritis or rheumatism in my fingers?
Well, some stores are thinking about that for sure, and they want to make those experiences nicer and more enjoyable. And it's still an excursion. Now, I'll tell you, on this weekend, when you could be swamped with millions of people, might not be the most fun, but the discounts they're giving are extraordinary. I've been out already shopping the stores. I was in Macy's today. You could get there. I got there early in the morning, and they're stocking up those stores. They're putting out those sales signs. And let's not forget, they're going to have this amazing parade in New York to catch everyone's attention. So they're doing those things. And beyond that, retailers, if they can't beat them, they're joining them. There's an awful lot going in to compete with online players like Amazon. You look at Macy's now, they have Apple stores within the Macy's stores. They have a Samsung shop. So there's a lot going on. In the case of join them, beat them, Kohl's now is putting in return centers for Amazon. They're actually going to sell on kiosks Amazon products like they sell for electronics. So the Echo and what have you, there's a lot going on. People are just not sitting still in those stores.
Now, Mark Weber, it used to be that, in early October, maybe the end of September, you'd be buying winter apparel because we had what were traditional winters. We could almost predict what day the temperatures would plummet. Now, with global warming and climate change, it's mostly warm most of the year. Has that devastated the apparel industry?
Well, it's played havoc on the people who make outerwear, which is a seasonal business to begin with. They have a short time to go in before they have to get out and clear all that merchandise. But the other problem is these department stores and this industry has trained people to wait. Nobody wants to go in and buy that outerwear coat they see in September and October. They know if they wait a month or so, they're going to get a better deal. So a certain degree, our industry has shot itself in the foot. Same thing with bathing suits. All the bathing suits in the world go on sale in July. So why should you buy one before the July? So there's a lot of competing factors, and yes, it's gotten warm, and you have to predict that.
Now, I remember years ago I had a chance to visit Macy's here in Herald Square, and I noticed all the inventory in the back rooms. Who pays for that inventory now? Is it Macy's who takes it off the hands of the wholesaler, or is it the wholesaler who basically puts the inventory in the store, and whatever doesn't sell, they got to suck it up and take it back?
Well, the worst form of doing business is taking returns. In my capacity, I would never take returns. The problem is when it's there, you have to mark it down. It has to go somewhere. And unfortunately, as department stores consolidated and they got stronger and stronger, they put their leverage on the manufacturer. So now they're in a position, they're either going to give me money to mark it down or you're going to take it back. And wholesalers are constantly trying to figure out what the right balance of that is.
Now, the president is always threatening, rattling his saber, a trade war with Red China. What would that do to our retail industry, whether it's the apparel side of it or other aspects of it? What would that do to the mom-and-pop shop, to the retailer, to the wholesaler? Take us right up the American chain, if you could.
Well, first of all, I don't believe we're going to have a trade war with China. The two countries are too important to each other. I mean, simply put, if Donald Trump can figure out and convince China to buy $500 million more product from all of our businesses, which, believe me, we've got the products they could use. We don't have a trade imbalance anymore. But the real issue is China's just executing better than we are. They're just being very, very competitive. They're not doing anything wrong. No one's telling big companies to go buy their products. They don't have a gun to their head. They're going there because they're providing good quality at a fair price. So we have to figure out how to get better at what we do. And if that tax cut goes through for American business, that's a great shot in the arm.
Mark Weber, final question. Is there any particular apparel item this year that people are craving for as they start trying to fill out their wish list?
Well, women are always looking for handbags and sexy shoes, and guys are always trying to figure out what they can do. They need a lot of help. So I would say to you, this year, sweaters for guys and women, just find those sexy shoes. Remember, the higher the heel, the closer you are to heaven.
Wow, so guys would be wearing sweaters, you mean, like Jimmy Carter did when he came on TV and he told us, hey, you know, just put a sweater on. You know, oil prices are high now, so just layer up with sweaters.
No, well, they're not creepy sweaters. Let's face it, guys do want to look good. And now the sweaters are different colors, different fits. They're designed to make men look right, which is a big development. Guys want to look right.
Now, Mark, you're promising me that if I get a sweater, I won't look like Mr. Rogers?
I'll tell you what. Come with me, and I'll take you to Macy's. We'll shop together.
Oh, hey, look, I need a shopping consultant. I need a buyer there. There's no doubt about it. And obviously, if you listen to Always in Fashion, Saturdays, 8 p.m., and so nice, then the suits say, hey, do it twice. You can also hear Always in Fashion on Sundays at 5 p.m., starring Mark Weber and his son, Jesse, like two peas in a pod. They're the experts. That's why so many people listen.
Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
Between the Scylla and Charybdis of commentary.
The Drive at 577 WABC.
Ladies and gentlemen, you had all eight city council speaker candidates in New York City appear at a forum last night, and they said they would support efforts to allow their fellow council members and themselves to serve three terms instead of the current two. They're intent on rolling back term limits. And because they have the support of the party bosses, who will pick who the speaker is, as they did it the last time, picking Melissa Mark, Viva Libre Puerto Rico. They want to get down and get dirty and get into a wartime situation. And I'm more than happy to appease them, because a two-term limit was imposed on city elected officials through a 1993 referendum. The people voted for it. In 1996, voters rejected the city council proposal to extend term limits. We rejected it. In 2008, Mayor Bloomberg and the city council extended the term limit to three terms because he bribed his way into a third term. But voters then soon overwhelmingly set the limit back to two terms in the 2010 referendum. Three times they've tried to bamboozle the voters. Three times the voters through initiative and referendum have said, we want term limits. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, as they try to bamboozle all of us for a fourth time, that as the New York State Reform Party chairman, I am going to stand strong with so many out there, because, number one, our main platform is term limits. That's right. If the president can serve two terms, than everyone else should only serve two terms. And secondly, we're in favor of initiative and referendum. We just want more of it on more issues. So if these city council members, the puppets of their party bosses, especially the crooked Crowley in Queens and Hasty in the Bronx, want to get it on, let's take it to the voters again so you can get a smackdown this time for a fourth time on term limits, you schmucks.
Does your basement or crawl space have damp, musty odors? Do you worry about indoor gases and pollutants? Everyday living generates moisture that can nourish mold and odors, even asthmatic triggers. Indoor pollutants linked to respiratory ailments, birth defects, and cancers can become trapped in your home. You can't buy health, but you can buy Wave's moisture control and air quality products. Wave Home Solutions, for a dry, healthy home. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to dryhome123.com. That's dryhome123.com.
Aging really does sneak up on us, doesn't it? Well, there is something you can do to help you look as young as you feel. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I've spent 3 decades perfecting techniques to help you look younger. If you have sagging eyelids, wrinkles, jowls, bands in the neck, or splotchy skin, I can help. Schedule a consultation in my new Fifth Avenue or my Somerset, New Jersey offices, and we'll sit down for a full hour and come up with a plan just for you. This year, there are some great new procedures, like longer-lasting wrinkle fillers and the incredible InstaLift, which dramatically lifts your cheeks and jowls in a one-hour exam room procedure. Schedule a consultation by calling 212-753-1820. That's 212-753-1820. On the web, it's periplasticsurgery.com. That's periplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday at 6 p.m., right here on WABC.
If your dog has shedding, dry skin, excessive scratching, I would recommend Dynavite.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of Super Mega Fish Oil free.
Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog.